Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I was talking to Kevin Fishbane.
Kevin Fishbane, Bears beat writer for The Athletic.
Can you walk us through maybe when Justin first got on your radar?
Last year, just on a phone conversation, just talking with Coach Day at Ohio State, we were going through a bunch of different players, just talking about different guys that he has. And towards the end of it, we discussed Justin, and he brought up, you know, he mentioned that, man, this kid is an absolutely, you know, he's a generational talent. And it just stuck with me, generational player. And when you hear that, those are strong words, but you understand the respect I have for him and what that means. And
Kevin Fishbane on 670 The Score.
We go to the Alpamonte Nissan guest hotline, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue. APNissan.com is the web address. You heard from Matt Nagy there in the open as we bring in Kevin Fishbane of The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at KFishbane. Rahimi and Ranji today. Bernstein is out. Kevin, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, I mean, you're a regular. I think you're here more than me. So it's good. It's good to have you.
Confirmed.
We have our first look at Justin Fields, which is really, I think, the only thing most people care about right now.
Yeah, pretty much. you know, rookie minicamp. I always like to say it's the biggest disparity in talent you'll see on a football field, because you have Justin Fields who, you know, if he hits his ceiling, right, he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. And then you have probably 25 guys out there who will never play an NFL game, who will never even this might have been their only weekend even, you know, doing anything related to the NFL. So it's hard to glean a ton. Really, you know, it's kind of part of the strange way that we cover the NFL. You're looking at the way these guys look from a body type standpoint. So you get there and you're like, wow, Justin Fields is a big dude. And people who are built like him shouldn't be able to throw and run as smoothly as he's able to. And look, rookie minicamp, like, everyone should look good. Everyone looks good in shorts. I think I look okay in shorts, but, you know, but that's what you look at. You're just out there. We only saw him throw a little bit. And you're like, wow, okay, I see it. All the physical attributes are there.
Yeah, there are people, by the way, who believe men should never wear shorts, and that's absurd. That's completely ridiculous. Anybody who believes that can stop. But when you, and I think that's the important thing, right? Is that we go back 4 years to the rookie minicamp for Trubisky, and the things that were written about him was that he impressed coaches and teammates, and you know that's probably the thing that's written about every rookie quarterback. In rookie minicamp is that he was impressive and there were no major incidents or concerns. I believe USA Today wrote about Trubisky. But because it's the very first look, when you look at him on the field, does it feel different? Does it, and I think a lot of what happens here over the next several weeks is going to be about feel. Does he just feel different?
He does. He does. I mean, and you get there and you talk to people, you know, in the building, and everybody kind of feels that, like, they get it. They get that this is different, and different than any kind of quarterback we've seen here in a while. And it just, again, it is that blend of just the size and the physique and the abilities, but also the fact that this guy was so accomplished, right? This wasn't somebody who impressed the GM because he lost the Sun Bowl, right? This was somebody who went out and torched Clemson, who got hurt and came back and beat Michigan. Like, all the things that Justin Fields did, you already came in knowing he did X, Y, and Z. You didn't have that with Mitch Trubisky. There was always 2017 was so strange, right? Because you had the lame duck staff with John Fox, and then Glennon gets there, and it was so apparent, the Trubisky versus Glennon, the differences in some ways, which is why I'm interested to see what everybody thinks when it's Andy Dalton versus Justin Fields, because we could see a similar, if not wider, disparity between those two. But it is a little different because this was so much a Matt Nagy pick, as opposed to obviously the last rookie quarterback coming in here. But yeah, you do kind of get the sense that like this does feel different, and then it kind of goes to the thing we're going to ask for the next 4 months, which is, well, how long can they sit here and see what we're all seeing and not have him actually play?
Well, and what's funny to me, Kevin, is we heard Matt Nagy talk about it, not just with Mullenhaw, which we're going to play for everybody who didn't get to hear that a little bit later in the show, but also to the media multiple times, talking about his reference to Mahomes and how he was in the room when all of that happened, which is fair. But again, the comp is you had a playoff quarterback on the Chiefs at the time, and I don't know that we can say Andy Dalton is playoff level. So then, how are you measuring him based on who's giving your team the best chance to win? And that's where I think the playbook really comes into play here, is the physical attributes are there, but it's the knowledge of the offense, I think, we'll all pick up on as to whether or not he's getting that at the time he needs to.
Yeah, Layla, and I kind of tried to touch on that in my story Saturday or Sunday morning. Like we don't know what Justin Fields is going to do in a 2-minute drill, or the first time he's got a, the defense is showing blitz and they back out into, some kind of cover three that he's never seen before, that Andy Dalton has seen hundreds of times in his entire NFL career. So those little intricacies are things that, I think the Bears are counting on the fact that Justin Fields will get there, and that Andy Dalton already knows how to handle some of that stuff.
So that said, knowing all of this, what were your biggest takeaways from him other than physical size? Because there were observations that were made about what people saw about Fields and his problem-solving skills over the last 3 days too.
Yeah, well, again, I actually credit the Bears were actually able to get enough guys to kind of run somewhat of a rookie minicamp. I saw like the Detroit Lions had to have a position coach play quarterback for them. Usually you have 90 guys out there a lot of times at rookie minicamp, and they always take a picture together. And for a bunch of those guys, that picture is treasured because it was literally their only time ever on an NFL team. So the Bears didn't have that element, but they did have enough guys out there where, you can judge some 11-on-11. You can watch Justin Fields go through his progressions in some of the team drills and make the right throw, make the check down if he needs to. And so I was only at Saturday's practice, and it was, calling disappointments maybe a little unfair, but I think we all wanted to see a deep ball, but we never saw it.
Yeah.
It was just like, and maybe that was just, it wasn't in the script or it was covered, because you got defensive players out there trying to make a good impression too. So, we're all kind of like, well, here it comes. And no, just going to check down. But maybe that's a smart play. Maybe that's one of the things that they want him to kind of, work on a little bit. So, it's so fascinating too, because when he faces, like what if come June, he faces this defense that has Eddie Jackson and Khalil Mack and, so on and so forth, and he starts lighting it up, right? And he starts doing the things, and so much of this stuff we just don't know, because we don't know what his first read was. We don't know, if he made the right checks at the line. But that's the other thing. I understand the venom in this town against Matt Nagy at this point. And you see that a little bit in some of the comments and the tweets, because when he talks about, how he wants Justin Fields to handle the huddle, Justin Fields shouldn't listen to Matt Nagy. He should do whatever made him great at Ohio State. Well, no.
Don't listen to your coach.
That's not how it works. And like, look, Justin Fields was standing in Ohio State looking at the sidelines, getting his signals, and all of his players were. He didn't have to go tell them the play half the time, most of the time. So, you know, this is a whole new thing for him that he has to get used to. Now, it could be something that he's already done. Like, he's already all set. He knows he can handle it. You know, like, quarterbacks at some point in their career have to handle a huddle. You know, this is not like the first time he's ever done it before. But there are all these elements that they're going to be watching and monitoring and evaluating, because Andy Dalton doesn't need to learn how to do that. And, look, I mean, I have no idea what to expect from Andy Dalton. I can tell you that the Bears are convincing themselves that he's going to be fine. And part of that is that, and you guys know this, and it's probably every sport, but I've only covered the NFL, so I take it from the NFL. These coaches are egomaniacs, and to the point where they always convince themselves that somebody they bring in is going to do exactly what they want them to do. So, you know, so there's that element of it, but there's also, you know, they're like, hey, look, this guy's had success in the league, and he knows this offense, and he knows how to run it. And we don't really need him to do that much, because guess what? We went to the playoffs two of the last 3 years with Mitch Trubisky.
I guess the way I would look at this is if it takes the Bears making poster boards on the sideline, you know, with like Harrison Ford's face on it and a stalk of corn or whatever, to get the signals into the huddle, if that's what it takes to make him feel comfortable to start week one, they should just go ahead and do that.
Yeah, also, I just want everybody to watch the last two Cowboys games last season, and y'all tell me. Now, yeah, granted, he didn't have an offensive line, and we'll get to that in a second because we want to do line talk, but yeah, yeah.
Yeah, clearly not good. It's exactly what we're talking about with Alex Smith and Pat Mahomes. At least with Smith, he looked like a legit quarterback. The dude was good, so there was no reason to take him out. And Kevin, when I look at Justin Fields, I think what I'm wondering is this. This is the first time that I can remember actually being excited about a quarterback. I think when Mitch was here, when he got drafted, it was like, I don't know about this guy, but I'm holding out hope that he turns into something. There are a ton of expectations on this guy because people assume he's going to be really good. He has to be aware of that. Fields has to be aware that everybody thinks he's going to save this team. So knowing that, it appears to me he's pretty calm about all of it. Is that the impression you're getting?
Yeah, Chris, I think he had the line Friday, like, I'm made for this. You know, and I'll say this too. You know, playing at the Ohio State University at that level and the kinds of games he played, I mean, you guys know what Ohio State fans are like. Yeah. I'm not saying that with like a negative connotation. Like, they are intense. I mean, that is their religion out there. And he had to play under that spotlight. And he played at an extremely high level for 2 years. So I mean, this is different, obviously. It's on a different platform. It's a different level. But, you know, especially with the media. I mean, the media difference between Ohio State and here is going to be huge. But he's dealt with that. He's dealt with that kind of pressure. He's dealt with the limelight. And he does seem just to be very poised, very calm, you know, just doesn't like ebb and flow. And, you know, there were times you could tell, this is going to be so hard over the next few months, guys, because I'm going to find myself comparing it to Mitch, which I don't think is necessarily fair to either of them in some ways, but that's all we have to work off.
Right.
Like, this is,
we're all doing it. Yeah. We're
right.
all doing it.
There's
we're
nothing
all
else
having
to go
control
on.
For that.
Exactly. And that's look, this is the problem with the team that never drafts quarterbacks, is like, all we have is Mitch Trubisky to compare this to. You know, I think if we go back to like, oh, not like the day that the Cutler trade happened, like that excitement in the city compared to a little bit of what happened a couple weeks ago, I think, because like we forget at the time that, you know, Jay was a Pro Bowl quarterback. He was young and it was like there was some like legitimate excitement in this town. This is still different than that because this is like a rookie who has not gotten into fights with his head coach.
Right.
You know, that's coming in here with this. So you're going back to kind of that personality element of it. I mean, it seems like this guy, you know, has that kind of demeanor that he can be okay with everything that's going to come, all the pressures that come. Again, in a lot of this too, we don't know how he's going to, like, what's going to happen when he goes out there and starts and throws two picks and he's got to deal with, you know, Mark Potash asking him, you know, to break it down for him. And you go into the fire there with Potsy, and you know it's a different world. It's not you know it's different than Ohio State. But I will also note, this guy had two, you know, very average games, very on a big stage last year. When you look at Indiana and you look at Northwestern, in terms of games that he did not play great. So he did have to answer some of those questions. He had to answer them throughout the entire draft process. People brought them up all the time. So, you know, maybe it's almost better than a guy who went 15-0 and won the Heisman. And that he had a little bit of that last year to deal with.
Can I be the nerd and ask about offensive line stuff?
Of course.
Okay. We've heard a lot about the line over the last few days. Number one, losing 30 pounds in an offseason for Larry Borum sounds a bit extreme. And number two, what's been the impression so far of Tevin Jenkins? I know they're not committing to anything yet as far as where people are playing, but we've been watching all of this.
Yeah, the 30 pounds is impressive. It wasn't even in like a full, it was like 2 or 3 months, you know, whatever. The difference between the end of the season and the pro day, I think that's, and that now that's he has lot. To gain more weight too. He's got to add, he lost too much. You look at Larry Borum and you're like, okay, I could tell that you lost a lot of weight. And like, you know, he's still trying to maybe get used to that frame and then figure out how, where he needs to get. But lucky for Larry Borum, like, this is not somebody that's going to be starting day one. He's going to have time to kind of get used to that. And, you know, the great thing about these guys, the difference from last year, is these guys are now in Hallis Hall. They are now working with the Bears strength and conditioning coaches. It's a different world for them now that they get to work with these guys. And, you know, Tevin Jenkins, and again, like, it goes back, and it's always like kind of a weird deal the way the NFL is that we're like talking about these guys' physiques the way we do. So like, I'm going to put that out there that it's always, it can be uncomfortable.
Invasive.
Yeah. But yeah. Tevin Jenkins, like, look, he looks like an NFL tackle. Like, he looks like an NFL left tackle. I mean, he is like, you looked at his pro day numbers and you could see like the athleticism there. And then you look at the guy and you're like, okay, like he doesn't look like he's carrying bad weight around. Like, he can move, you know, but again, like, what's going to happen the first time, like, he's lined up against, you know, Robert Quinn in a rap or Khalil Mack or that's going to be such a huge question. I understood the Charles Leno move. If you know you're probably going to do it at some point, you just do it and maybe give the guy some courtesy. He's going to have a lot of time to go find the right spot as opposed to cutting him in August. But I also was thinking, like, shoot, don't you want to, like, let these guys battle it out? Like, do you really want to hand a guy who started, what, 6 games left tackle in college, you want to hand him the job? So, you know, they're relying on their coaching. They're relying on this guy's talent. And, you know, again, similar to Fields in some ways, physically gifted. You hear what his coaches at Oklahoma State say about him. It's like, okay, this is everything you want in a football player. Once he kind of flipped a switch around his junior year, you're like, all right, I can see how this guy could be a really good tackle.
Kevin, before we let you go, anything else from the weekend stick out for you?
You guys want to hear more about different guys' body types?
Hey, man, whatever you want to talk about.
So I was standing out there, and there was Charles Snowden is the undrafted rookie outside linebacker. And he's like 6'6" and a half. And standing out there at outside linebacker, you're just kind of like, who? Like, you think he looks like, you think he's like a center on a basketball team, the way he's compared to everybody else. And the reason I bring up this guy is he was, at least by most metrics, considered the best rated undrafted rookie the Bears signed. He's at a premium position in terms of outside linebacker. He was very productive at Virginia rushing the passer. So you see, it's like, all right, well, he's already got the gifts of already having this length. Now, can the Bears work with him and how to use it effectively? So that was somebody that stood out. You know, I think Thomas Graham Jr., like, that nickel corner spot is open. And it's a 6th-round pick. So you're asking a lot. But this seems like somebody that's going to be able to pick up the defense well. It's similar to what he played in his first couple years at Oregon. He has great ball skills at Oregon. Like, if he's good enough to just step in there as your starter, I mean, that could be a huge find for them. And again, high expectations for a guy who's a 6th-round pick, but, you know, he's somebody I'm kind of keeping an eye on as we get closer to the preseason.
That stresses me out, because I know you talked about that in your article on The Athletic, your takeaways from camp. And the idea that we're going to fill Kyle Fuller's spot with a 6th-rounder in a draft where the 6th round was not exactly fruitful relative to the rest of the other drafts is a little stressful to me.
Yeah, it is. I mean, well, it's like, take your pick, because you have Thomas Graham Jr., you have Duke Shelley, who we've seen a decent amount of, and Kendall Vildor, who I think they like a lot, but we've never seen him play the slot. We've never seen him play inside, so we just don't know. They're very excited about Desmond Trufant. And yeah. It goes back to that kind of ego a little bit, but like, you know, they think that they might have kind of had a bit of a coup, that they were able to sign him when Fuller left. We don't know. I mean, this guy's been hurt a bunch the past couple of years. So, you know, it's hard. We don't know what he's going to end up being. But, that's what they say. We'll see when the pads come on. And then we'll look how these guys look.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you're getting to see their bodies now. Really can't wait to see them with pads on.
We want to hear them hit, Ron.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, that's it.
Football.
If we need more body stuff, we'll call you.
Please do. Everyone needs a niche.
Thank you, Kevin.
Judging bodies, we've turned into the body shaming show.
That should be your book.
And you got in a Northwestern plug. Aptly so. That was one of his worst games.
I did. Northwestern's defense is the reason the Bears were able to take Justin
That's
Fields.
Correct.
So you're welcome.
Yeah. Northwestern also lost to Illinois State a couple of years ago. I don't want to remind you. Kevin, thanks very much.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thanks,
That is Kevin Fishbane of The Athletic. He covers the Bears. You can read him every dang day. Also on Twitter, at KFishbane. You can text the show, 312-644-6767. It's brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. When we come back on Bernstein and Rahimi, you will hear from the head coach of the Bears, Matt Nagy, who joined Mully and Haw earlier today on The Score.
This is Ian Happ, your center fielder from the north side. Connect Roasters and I are happy to announce the Home Run Club, a coffee subscription for baseball fans. You'll get freshly roasted coffee shipped to your door on the first of every month, access to exclusive game-used merch, personal notes from me, and most importantly, when I hit a home run, you'll get $5 towards coffee and merch on connectroasters.com. Our goal is to have 1,000 members enjoying great coffee and giving back to the community. For more information, go to connectroasters.com or homerunclub.coffee. Together, we can make a difference, one cup at a time.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Layla Rahimi and Chris Ranji on The Score. I'm in for Dan Bernstein today, who's out of the state, but he'll be back with you on Wednesday. But in the meantime,
it sound
it's
like
Layla.
He's violating probation or something.
Well,
out of
you
the
know what?
State. That's not difficult to do. You could drive like an hour north and be out of the state, or like an hour east.
Well, it just it leaves a little bit of doubt, you know. And Dan, by the way, would never commit any sort of crime ever, like ever. But if he did, there's no way he'd run. I think he'd turn himself in. Like he would 100% just go right to the police station and turn himself in. I know.
So
he would.
You'll appreciate this. We joked that we need to have a tournament of anxiety in honor of having the tournament of greatness and the tournament of bad, because we are like the anxiety show on the station. And I know that doesn't surprise you at all.
No, it does not. The two of you together. Good doctor. Man, you guys and your anxiety.
And Woo. Jay. So
Jay, does Jay have anxiety?
Crippling, no. Yes.
Really?
Absolutely.
Oh, Jordan doesn't. Do you?
Oh, yes.
What's
oh,
wrong
yes.
with you people? Oh, my God.
So we use iPhones. So Dan would totally turn himself in, and that would be part of the tournament of anxiety, is Dan turning himself in after committing a crime, like taking the mattress tag off or something.
He would turn himself in, and here's what he would say. He would say, look, I hope I got here in plenty of time. Don't tack on any years because I showed up a little bit too late. You know, he would, oh my God.
He'd already start negotiating the sentence.
What is wrong with you anxiety people?
Listen, you join the show, okay? I'm just filling you in.
Okay. Well, I want you all to calm down. Calm down and listen, Layla. Listen to Matt Nagy, who joined Mully and Haw earlier today. And I don't know if you're going to believe this or not, but they're really excited to have Justin Fields.
There was just a lot of pure excitement because when you get a player of his caliber at the quarterback position, and everybody in this building was convicted on who he was as a player and who he is as a person, that's what it's all about inevitably. So now it's our job as coaches to develop these guys and make sure that we're doing everything we can to get that plan that you were just talking about to make him the best quarterback and the rest of these players in this draft class the best players so that it ultimately helps the Chicago Bears out.
You know, it's fascinating to see you as a play caller. I know that means so much to you, and I know we got a chance to see you in your room at home where you literally have wallpapered it with what we call your BU sheets because you have those you're holding those laminated sheets up with the BU on it and everybody has picked up on it. What can you tell us about the process of giving up play calling and then deciding to go back with it? Why are you back as the primary play caller? What changed for you?
Yeah, so every year is a little bit different. And, you know, I've had a lot of different discussions with other coaches and play callers in the league over the years of situations that they've been through and ways that they've handled it. And, you know, I think that last year with where we were offensively and some of the things that we were struggling with, I always want to make sure, you know, am I doing my job to make sure that I'm putting these players in the best position possible. And last year at that point in time, it just really felt like that it was, we needed a change up and we didn't want to make a big deal out of it. I know it can be a big deal, but at the same point in time, a lot of the plays are the same, but it's just a matter of, you know, just sometimes just a different pitcher, right? Like in baseball and that's okay. But you know, now getting into this year, that's motivating for me for going through that last year, you know, as an own personal coach and somebody that's been through what I've been through the last 3 years here in Chicago. That's a challenge to me to be better and to make sure that I'm adapting and doing everything I can with our players to make them the best players they can be. And so I'm really excited for that part. I take advice from other coaches of when they've given it up and taking it back. And that's kind of what I'm relying on and I'm looking forward to it.
So, Matt, we hear all the time about how a quarterback fits into your specific scheme and whether or not Mitch was a good fit or whatever quarterback is a good fit. Nick Foles is here because of his knowledge and background in the offense. When you have somebody with Justin Fields, just athleticism and immense talent and potential, how much do you, as the guy who, you know, whose scheme it is, who calls the plays, who shapes the game plans, how much do you have to tailor your game plans and your philosophy around his skill set and maybe not be as rigid or as structured as you are used to being, or are you going to take the same approach?
No, for sure. Yeah. We're going to adapt to each of these quarterbacks. And so your question was about Justin. I think it's very, very important that we put Justin in positions, you know, play wise to things that he's done in his past that he feels very comfortable with. When you watch the plays that he ran at Ohio State, there's a lot of similarities. You know, Coach Day has been in a lot of different college offenses, and he's also did it in Philadelphia and in San Francisco as a quarterback coach. So he knows the NFL game and the NFL concept. So sometimes it's just language and it's how you teach the play. But for us, for all three of these guys, these quarterbacks, we're going to adapt to what they do best. It's the same thing with Andy, right? Andy's been in a lot of different offenses. And so what are things that he does well? If there's a concept or play that these guys don't like or don't feel that we run in this offense, if they say, you know what, coach, I don't like that, man. That doesn't fit what we do or how I like to see the play, then we're going to bag it. We're going to get rid of it. We've done that in the past, the last 3 years. We've taken some concepts, even with Mitchell, you know, going back to North Carolina, some things that he did at North Carolina just to make him feel comfortable. And I think that's very important. And if we're being stubborn as coaches and saying, you got to, as a quarterback, make this play work because it's worked in the past, that's not fair. And so we're going to make sure that each of these guys have an equal opportunity to excel at what they do best. And it's our job as coaches to make sure that we listen to them.
Matt, we've heard you say that everybody will know when it's time for Justin Fields to get under center. What is that for you? I mean, is it you quizzing him on the offense and him having all the answers? Is it the way he looks as he runs the team? I mean, can you define what it is that you're looking for so the rest of us will know when we see it?
Yeah, for sure. I would say it's more, it's 100% more of what's happening on the field, because there's a lot of players that can get it right in the classroom. And then the second you get down on the field and things are down there on field level, it changes. And so plays got to be made, right? We got to be able to see the execution from all three of these quarterbacks, from all of them on the field. And that's where, when, like, for anybody that walks out on the practice field or a preseason game and watches, you just know, you feel it, you see it. It's something that you just feel like, okay, yeah, they're doing this really well, or they're really struggling. And so that's where, there's such a growth process to all of these guys. I mean, we're sitting here talking about Justin as a rookie and him learning this offense and what he's doing. Well, it's the same thing for Andy Dalton. He's still learning too. He doesn't know the timing of any of these wide receivers. He doesn't know the footwork of the running backs and the communication with the O-line. So that's why this offseason will be really integral and important to make sure that they're taking this on and learning. But getting back to your original question, I wish I could have a better answer other than you just know, you see it, you feel it, and whoever makes the Bears the best team because of what you do at your position, that's what we're going to go with.
Matt, do you believe you're a better football team right now than you were at the end of last year?
I do. I do. And that's, every year is different. But for us right now, that's our job. The second the season ends is to make sure that we do our jobs as with Ryan as a general manager, his personnel side, and then myself as the head coach and our coaching staff. All right, where can we get better? Like, what can we do different, and what do we need to do the same? And it always starts with the off-season scheme evaluation. And obviously, with Coach Pagano's retirement and bringing in Sean Desai as a new defensive coordinator, that part right there is super exciting for Sean to be able to show what he can do. He's been waiting so long for this opportunity. Now he has it. And just to see what he's been able to do in this short period of time, very, very organized, very committed. He's obsessed. The guys are excited. And so that part's going to be great too. And then, you know, player acquisition wise and, you know, through free agency and some of the guys we got offensively, defensively, we feel like we got more depth probably now than we've had in the last 3 years. Depth creates competition. And ultimately, when you have competition, you have to make some tough cuts in training camp, but it makes you a better team. So let's do our job as coaches. The players do their job as players. Let's put this thing together and let's go out and win football games.
Matt, last week your receivers coach Mike Furry said about Anthony Miller publicly, we don't need you, or at least that was the message that seemed to be sent. You wanted to clarify those comments over the weekend. Where does the team stand with Anthony Miller and how safe is his roster spot?
Yeah, so I think I'm glad you're asking that question because, you know, for Coach Furry, you know, we discussed that, and that's not what he was trying to say at all. Matter of fact, it was the other way. It was the fact that there's so much depth at the wide receiver position, and we've had some really, really good discussions with Anthony recently in the last couple weeks that have been extremely healthy. Anthony has done everything we've asked him to do up to this point, and he's really, really eager to get out here and compete. He's one of the most competitive players I've ever been around. He understands that there's some parts in his game that he needs to get a little better at. But we also understand, too, on our end, that we need to be able to help him out as much as possible. So that comment last week was not an indictment on Anthony Miller at all. It was that we have a lot of depth, and everybody knows that. When you all show up here in OTAs and training camp, get ready because we're going full speed, and we're like everybody needs to dot their I's and cross their T's, be extremely detailed. And really just everything's open. Let's go compete and may the best man win.
We look at your team and we wonder sometimes if the timeline is correct. In other words, as the offense improves, will the defense take a step back? It's been a great defense here for a number of years, but there are aging veterans on that side of the ball. And you just wonder how that will connect. Are you shifting from more of an offensive team? Are you still going to be a great defensive team, and how will those two areas complement each other?
For sure. I think for us as a team, one of the biggest things that we can do is come out of the training camp and make sure that defensively and offensively, very early on, that we have an identity on both sides. And then the same thing with special teams, because special teams can win and lose you a lot of games. So we want to make sure that what's our identity heading into training camp, and then do we follow up with it early on in the season? Right now, we do have a very good mix of veterans and young guys on the defensive side of the ball. And I think offensively, you can feel more of a youth movement on the offensive side. So as you go through these drafts that Ryan and I have been together now, you know, with this being our fourth draft, I think you can see that there, you know, Ryan's done a really good job of making sure that we create some depth at in different positions on offense. And you got a guy like Jalen Johnson holding down one corner. You know, you got a Roquan Smith in the middle. You got Bilal Nichols that's young. You got Darnell Mooney as a wide receiver, Cole Kmet, David Montgomery, you know, your offensive line. And the list goes on and on with the 1 to 2 year, 3 year guys that I think is awesome. But then you have a nice mix of your vets too, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, along with on the offense, you got your Jimmy Grahams and your Andy Dalton and your offensive lineman like Cody White here, Allen Robinson. I mean, it's across the board. So I feel like we're in a really good spot right now to put this thing together and do a lot of good things. And that's why we're, you know, very excited to get rolling here and, you know, that we have this opportunity sitting in front of us and really looking forward to the season.
That's Matt Nagy,
Jimmy
the head
Graham.
Coach of the Bears. Yeah. He was talking
not
with
Allen
Mullion
Robinson,
Hall.
Not David Montgomery.
Well, Jimmy, look, this should be a decent offensive team. I mean, when the rookie quarterback is in and playing every day, I mean, they're probably going to be some hiccups along the way because he's learning to be a professional, but you would think this is going to be a good offense. But you raised a good point when we were talking to Fishbane about what the defense might look like. And the one thing you can do, I mean, everybody always talks about get this quarterback a good offensive line, get him this, get him that, get him a bunch of receivers. The one thing you can do to really help the guy out, get him a good defense. Get him a good defense. Make sure that they can not force him to have to constantly come from behind and, you know, try to make up a 14-point deficit.
Well, also just get him a good running game. And that's ideally where Montgomery and a healthy Tariq Cohen come into play. Like, run blocking is easier than pass blocking every single day of the week and twice on Sunday, where it counts. But when Nagy says, who gives us the best chance to win? That's the key. That's all we need to remember. Everything else will fall into place. So you have to ask yourself, if he's judging himself and the team by that metric, then who are we going to see?
That means you're going to see Justin Fields in the first month of the season. That's Layla Brahimi. I'm Chris Ranji, in for Dan, the midday midway next on The Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Morning Show.
Mully
and Hall here.
We're with you every morning on your way to work, live at 5.
We've got the day's biggest Chicago sports stories to start your day off right.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
And on your device or smart speaker through the Odyssey app.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
The first half or the second half, you know, it's they're two equal times.
Now, midway.
The midday midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the midway.
Five,
six, seven, eight.
Our objective is midway.
Nine, ten.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel
the midday midway with Bernstein and Rahimi. Middays 9 a.m. to noon on The Score.
Layla is here, but Dan is not. Dan is out. He'll be back on Wednesday. I'm back in tomorrow with Layla Rahimi. I'm Chris Ranji. We're going until noon today, as this show always does. And Layla, I know that you, like everybody else, watched The Last Dance, and it was during a time when there were no sports, there was nothing going on, and anybody who grew up or covered or watched the 90s Bulls, that Last Dance was like a godsend at the perfect time in 2020. SNL got around to making fun of it last night, and it was good, Layla.
It was.
1 year ago, my documentary about Michael Jordan's final season with the Bulls, The Last Dance, aired on ESPN. And even though it was 10 hours long, there was so much left on the cutting room floor. So tonight, I'd like to share an extended scene that I think really speaks to what made Michael Jordan such a great competitor. Enjoy.
Game 5, Bulls Suns. Tip off is in 2 hours. I'm playing quarters on the wall with my head of security, John. Here, John, say hi. Come get in.
I'm ready for my close-up.
So whoever gets the quarter closest to the wall wins. I'm about to take $5 off of him. So watch
okay,
this.
We'll see.
Watch
All right,
this.
Here we'll we see. Go. Okay. How about I take that from you? Oh, I win.
Well, he won. You know, I was happy for him. But he did that little shrug, and I took that personally.
Again.
Oh, okay. I think I got another 5 spot on me.
$1,000 this time. Here we go.
Oh, come on, man. I don't care that kind of, what the kids call it, cheese.
I'll spot you.
Oh, no.
Oh, ho, ho.
That is financially rough for me. The wife's not gonna like that.
See, with Michael, he had to win. That's what made him great.
I mean, he's about to play for an NBA title, and here he is taking a little locker room game just as seriously. Just an amazing competitor.
Well, how much money you owe me now?
$9,000.
Oh, that's nothing, man. You can make that in a day.
I can't.
You can't. Uh-oh. There he is. The enemy. All right, Charles Barkley.
What's up, MJ?
How y'all doing? Oh, what y'all playing? Quarters against the wall?
Yep.
Man, I love that game. Let me play. What'd you say, about $5,000 a throw?
Okay, well, you two have fun.
No, John, stay. Come on, man. Yeah, come on, John.
Fellas, I don't make that kind of money.
Well, fit your pants, then.
I got to tell you, that so Keegan-Michael Key played MJ, and they had Heidi Gardner playing John Michael Wozniak, who was he was a detective, right? Like a narcotics detective. And he ended up
retired. He was retired at the time.
Working in the, you know, the locker room. He was security for the Bulls. And there's that scene from The Last Dance where they're playing quarters and he does the Michael Jordan shrug. That was a really well done way to make fun of that whole thing. And by the end of it, poor John he doesn't have any pants because MJ like took his pants. Like, it's so funny that you've got this guy who's just an incessant gambler and wants to beat you badly and embarrass you all the time, no matter what, that he was willing to take this poor guy's pants off his body.
I was very cringy as much as it was funny. And that's pretty much, I feel like, what happened in that Last Dance segment, too. And Jay, you did a deep dive on this.
What's so impressive about it is how detailed and accurate the costumes are, the room they're in.
Yeah.
It looks identical to the documentary. And I love SNL history. I love the side stories. I love how all the things come up. I actually put a request out for Heidi this week, so hopefully we can get her on the show. But she goes, I'm not going to read it, but it's a long post on her Instagram sort of giving how it came together, all the people that made it happen. So make sure you check out her Instagram, Heidi L. Gardner, on Instagram. It's just a really cool story. And I love how this all starts, you know, probably 2 a.m. It's just an idea. They've got to get everybody in, everybody involved, wardrobe all involved. It's just, it's cool to see things like that come together. And it was perfect. They nailed it. It was unbelievable how good they did. Down to the fact that they put prosthetic leg hair on Heidi Gardner. It's just unbelievable. They did an awesome job.
The funniest thing about it is if MJ is gambling, this dude who, you know, worth millions at the time and now a billionaire, is gambling with just an average person. Like, you can't get in debt with that dude. You can't.
No.
You can't out gamble him.
And you can see the awkwardness of John wanting to be cool, wanting to fit in, but knowing he can't afford it.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's so well constructed in the line where he goes, that's $5,000. What'd you make it a day, right? No, actually, that's not. And then Barkley coming in. But the funny part is you act like it's just the people Jordan was around who weren't athletes. How many times have we heard stories of other athletes getting into trouble gambling with like the stars on their plane who are making the Supermax contracts and then they get in trouble? Everybody tries to hang and nobody can hang.
You can hang though, Layla.
Oh,
if you needed to. If you needed to.
What currency are we betting in exactly? 88 Topps cards? Then I'm good.
Oh yeah, you're a millionaire when it comes to those. You've got plenty of 1988 Topps cards. I got a bunch of Donruss.
I would value it at 14 cents. I'm also sad we didn't get to Murder Dirter because everybody talked to me about that.
By the way, of course you're Don Russ because you're an Android guy.
I don't. I was joking. I don't have any Don Russ.
All right. I was going to say. It's on brand, though.
I might have some Fleer. I might have some Fleer cards. I might have some Don Russ. But I was a Topps guy. Everybody was a Topps guy.
All right. Let's break.
Okay.
Jessica I think it's Camerato. Time.
Yeah, Jessica Camerato, who covers the Washington Nationals. Why is it significant? Well, Kyle Schwarber and John Lester are going to be playing against their former team starting tonight. We'll talk to Jessica next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!